Good evening. This evening, we'll continue to consider Job. In the morning, we saw how the Lord allowed Job go through a tremendous trial. He lost all his possessions, and he then lost his health and suffered dreadful sores on his body. And more than that, his wife also was suggesting that Job should actually despise God, should reject God, and end his suffering in a way that doesn't honor God. Beyond there, we see that Job had three friends that came to console him. And there was Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They came to offer consolation to Job. And they spent 7 days without speaking because of the great grief that Job had. They observed him, and they sat there not knowing what to say. For 7 days, speaks about the extent to which the servant of God was tried. After 7 days, Job began to speak. He indeed despised the day of his birth because of the severe trials that he was going through. And then his friends began to speak in turn to Job, and Job also responding. They were trying to, in summary, charge that Job had sinned against God, and that was the reason for his suffering. We did say in the morning that we don't know, and we need to be sober about the trials and difficulties of others as we do our trials and difficulties of our own. These friends assumed that clearly sorted the puzzle out why Job was suffering. It had to do with his sin. And they pressed him and they criticized him. And Job answered that their friends were taunting him. And Job now began to appeal that he needed to bring his case before God. He searched his soul. He could not find any sin that would bring about such kind of treatment upon him. Now, one of the things that you note with Job's life and the friends charging that he had sinned against him, Job also in his heart, to some extent, had also this theology that God would reward us based on what we do. And that's why he could plead his righteousness. Humanly speaking, Job had kept the faith. He was righteous, and God commended him as well. And he searched his soul, he was very clear. And he could say, I need to know where God is so that I can come before him and plead my case. I can plead before him that I'm righteous and I don't deserve this kind of suffering, so to say. And Job was appealing that God should speak to him. However, along the way, another friend, a younger friend, came by the name of Elihu, who contradicted the advice Job's friends had given him that he had sinned, and also contradicted Job, began to basically rebuke Job as well, that he had no right indeed to question God. And also Job condemned Elihu condemned Job that he was claiming righteousness before God, which he didn't have. As you'd know, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We are saved by grace, but we still have remnants of sin. But God, in his mercy, loved Job. As we saw in the morning, unknown to Job was God's work behind the scenes, and God finally appeared. And this time, when he appeared in chapter 38, the Lord began to answer Job, because Job had asked questions. He wanted to have a chat with God so that he can bring his cause and prove that he's a righteous man and does not deserve the things he was going through. In verse 38, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens my counsel?" Asking some questions to Job by words without knowledge. "Now prepare yourself like a man. I'll question you and you shall answer me." These are hard questions. God saying that, "Who is this? Job, you're trying to advise me, to tell me what I must do. Who are you?" And he says, "Prepare yourself if you can answer." And if there's anything terrible, is when you are challenged before some authority to answer something that you know you are guilty of. Job was dumbfounded as God laid several questions before him as to how he governs the universe, how he laid the foundations of the earth, how he manages his creation. Job could not answer to any of those questions that God asked him, and some of them we read. And Job's response, after he had a brief glimpse into who God was, that he's great and awesome, and God proved to him that he's almighty, then Job said, "I cannot speak. Behold, I'm vile." He saw his folly, that he could not bring a charge before God, neither could he contend with God. And he says, he lay his hand over his mouth. He spoke once, but he will not answer. Twice, he will not proceed any further. No questions. Just the thought of knowing that God is omnipotent, God is almighty, settled the matter before Job. And this evening, I wanted us to consider Job's repentance after the charge that God brought before him. From Job 42, verse 1 to 6. May I invite us to read this as Job answered the Lord. Again. Verse 1, "Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do everything, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, "Who is this who hides my counsel without knowledge?" Therefore I uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, let me speak. Yes, you said, I'll question you and you shall answer. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." This was Job. He had come to understand that God can do everything. He had a changed view of God. And what followed the changed view of God was Job's confession. And after that, filled with contrition, he repented in dust and ashes. So we'll consider then his changed view of God. To some extent, we have already looked at this. He had a changed view of God, that God can do everything. He says in verse 2, "I know that you can do everything." Job said this view from what he had now come to learn as God interacted with him, as God spoke to him in the chapters before this. It was an acknowledgement that God is sovereign, God is omnipotent, and that the reaction, the correct reaction that man should have before this great and awesome God should be one of submission. Submission as God executes his power providentially in the lives of his people. Job was now convinced that God was almighty. Now, he also came to understand deeper that no purpose of God can be withheld, that nothing that God determines to do can be withheld, can be stopped. It can't be hindered. What God has determined to do, he will do. And the word here used, withheld, means literally to cut off. It means to cut off access, and then to prevent, to hinder, to restrain. The meaning here is that nothing can restrain God, and no one can. His purposes will run their full course. And for Job, he had to go through the full course of the patch of trials, of tribulations, or rather of adversity that he had to go through. The full course had to be run. Now, these things Job had already had some understanding about them. He knew about God's omnipotence because he talks about it as he converses with his friends. He talks about it. He knew. But something was different, and he says something in verse 5. He says, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Job had heard about God. He had heard about God's sovereignty. He had heard about God's omnipotence, and he speaks about it. The difference is, now Job, when he says he sees with his eyes, doesn't mean literally that he's seeing this, but his understanding is that of seeing and hearing as well as seeing. It's more clear now. The depth of my understanding is deeper than I had before. And why was this? It's because Job was tried by God. In the morning, we encouraged ourselves with regard to God's purposes in adversity. Tried sent, brother and sister who's going through a difficult time or will go through a difficult time, remember that there are some precious lessons that you will learn in adversity that you can't learn when things are okay, when things are going on well. What a precious gift God gives to his people when he brings before them adversities. And that's why Job was telling his wife that we should accept both adversity and good. They are both from the hand of this good God who loves us. He sends them in love to his people so that they may experience the greatest blessings he can ever give those he loves. And some blessings, brothers and sisters, you can't get them unless you are tried through the path of adversity. And for Job, he had known something about God. Adversity made it very clear. And his eyes could see. He could understand. He was speaking as God charged him without knowledge. He had not fully understood God's sovereignty and God's almighty character and in his dealings with his people. But after a period of testing, he had fully understood. He could see clearly things he once knew. That God is sovereign and no one can stop him in his tracks. He will do what he intends. And the knowledge of God's almighty character and sovereignty is a great balm as you go through suffering. To know that my God has ordained this, he had chosen this patch for me, this is my lot that he has given me, and he has given it out of love. Remember, God doesn't change. His love is everlasting. Even when he allows adversity to fall upon his children, difficult times, his love is there with them. And he does this so that they can get the best benefit that you can only get through suffering and pain. And all of us as God's people will certainly go through some form of adversity. Oh, that God may bless us, even as we, like Job, pray and yearn for this fresh view of God. We must remember that adversity in and of itself does not actually bring a deeper understanding of God. It's God's mercy by his grace as he allows these things to begin to impact our hearts. And when we are going through adversity, oh, that our prayer may be, Father, grant me a deeper understanding of yourself so that I may know how to pull through this difficulty, so that I may know how to conduct myself. It's very easy, as we saw from Job's wife, to focus on our difficulty and drown out the great lessons of our great God in times of adversity. Oh, that God will keep our hearts steady and will keep our hearts fixed upon him, will keep our hearts yearning for more of him, even in difficult time, and keeping our eyes fixed upon him. God is gracious, and he deals with his people in adversity, like Job he did. In the second place, Job confesses. Remember in chapter 38, we read what God charged Job with. God says, who's this one who's darkening my counsel? And Job said, who is this one who hides my counsel without knowledge? Job is saying, it's me. It's me. My father, I spoke. And he says in verse 3, you asked, who is this who hides my counsel without knowledge? And therefore I uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Now, Job surely understood something about God, as we saw already. He had heard about God, understood, but he had not fully understood to an extent where he appreciated. The theology of the time around him, exhibited through the presentation from his friends, in some extent affected him as well, thinking that God would treat him kindly. And that's why he was coming before him. I can't understand this. You are sovereign, but I can't understand this, and I want to bring my charge before you. And then God comes to remind him in a greater way that he is sovereign and is almighty. He understands it. And he acknowledges, I spoke without knowledge. By saying that he spoke without understanding here, he did not fully understand as he did when God had fully, when God had shown himself to him through the response he gave him. The best attitude is one of humility, as we said, and submission. We will not fully understand, but we'll humbly submit and acknowledge that he's sovereign and is great. Things too wonderful for him, which he did not know. And these wonderful things he spoke about as he responded to his friends. And we can see one of these in chapter 23. Verse 13, where he was responding appropriately in line with what God was telling him. 23, verse 3, he says, but he is unique, and who can make him change? He came to know that God's what God purposes cannot be withheld. Who can make him change? And whatever he so desires, that he does. Job knew these things. They did not impact him as much until the testing. We also pray that the truths we know, brothers and sisters, may impact us, particularly when we go through difficulties. Sometimes when you go through a difficult time, you forget about what you know about God. And when you are tempted and tried, you forget about what you know about God and fall in like the rest, as did Job's wife. And also Job himself, in some sense, as he aligned himself with the view of his brother, his friends in his heart. Now, Job declared himself ignorant. He came to know that he didn't know. He could not contend with God. He was ignorant. He could not understand what God was doing. It was too great for him. And the only correct response is what he did. I will not speak anymore. In verse 40, in chapter 40, we saw that he put his mouth, his hand over his mouth. I spoke too much. I shouldn't speak. But, and now here, verse 4, he says, please listen, I will not say anymore. I'll be quiet and let God be God and let him be exalted above all things. Now, after Job had come to learn about God in a deeper sense through the trial, and then he had come to appreciate, he says that he abhors, in verse 6, himself, abhors himself, and he repented in dust and ashes. God had worked greatly in Job's life and brought him to a point where he was filled with contrition and he repented of his sin. As we see God clearer, we will see our sinfulness and we'll be brought down to humility. As we get to know more about God, it doesn't matter whether we are in times when we are experiencing good or when we're experiencing evil. As we see God, we will be humbled and we will be brought down to where we are supposed to be in humility before the living God, the Almighty God, and submit to him. And this was the result. After Job experienced this great vision of the Lord, this interaction with the Lord, he was brought down to humility. He was brought down to a point where he repented of our sins. Many believers fail to live out their faith in times of trouble because of pride and presumption. Job exhibited great humility through his trial, but this is a real danger, and pride is subtle and can easily creep in, even in the most pious saint, and bring them down, and presumption as well, upon God's gifts and God's gifts with which he has given us. It was God who had blessed Job with righteousness. And I just wonder if within his heart there was some point at which he thought his righteousness was enough to be accepted before God. With reverence, I wonder. So too often, we normally compare ourselves, with other believers. And when we do this, we're not wise. We look at our brethren who are equally struggling, and we are much better than them. And we gauge ourselves before the Lord better than them. We measure our holiness with their holiness, and we say we are better. But when we come to measure ourselves with God's holiness, we will see just how small, how nothing we are before him, as did Job. The Lord calls Job as a righteous man. And Job was correctly able to see the unrighteousness of the advice his friends gave him. He was able to refute that. But match Job's righteousness with God's righteousness, he is indeed shattered and cannot stand. He is challenged. It is God who we must face, who we must address, and we must look up to. And it's God indeed with whom we have to do with our sins and our lives lived out here. Job faced God and experienced his mercy. And brothers and sisters, we have a gracious God. Job had yearned to have interaction with God and God granted him that occasion. God came down, so to say, to the level of Job to begin to reason with him, his servant. He is a gracious and kind God. When you go through difficult times and you run to our God, he will come down as you cry out before him and interact with your heart, with your soul, to encourage you, to show himself to you as you plead with him. And more than that, for Job, when points at which he had veered off were shown to him, he repented. And we are told that the Lord forgave him. And God, later in the chapter, basically calls him back his servant. And God considered him righteous, just the way he did at the beginning. And then he charges Job's three friends that they had not spoken of God as did his servant Job. And the Lord blessed Job again, restored his fortune, and blessed him with children, and then also blessed him with a long life, 140 years after the period of trial. So, how do we conclude then? We don't need to understand, as we said in the morning, no explanation was given to Job. Job had some questions, specific questions to God. And those questions were not answered. God did not answer the specifics that Job had. Just the view, or fresh view, of God's sovereignty and omnipotence indeed dwarfed those questions. They didn't need to be answered. It was enough that now Job knew that God is sovereign and is almighty. And God, brethren, as we go through difficulty, we don't know what the year holds for us. We should be sure that he will do what is best for his children, even when it hurts. We describe Job's trials in the morning. Terrible situation, but that was good for Job. And out of it came this great good. Job was a better servant of God at the end of the trial. And God will do all things to glorify himself. And in Job's life, God was magnified at the end of his trial. Much greater glory was given to God through this servant. Job yielded to God and he blessed him. May he grant us grace as we face trials and difficulties to yield to him and to live our lives to the honor and praise of his holy name. Amen.